is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The United States Navy, growing for the demands of the 21st century. The ambition is 355 and beyond. How to get there? What is to be done with the present fleet? Is it adequately serviced by the shipyards that can be trusted? That would be the USA and its strong allies. I welcome two men who have a way forward that is in the news. First, Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired aviator of the Sagamore Institute, traveling in the Midwest. And then Captain Ed Bartlett, CEO and founder of Bartlett Maritime in the Cleveland area. Gentlemen, this is an exciting news story I flag from the Cleveland Plain Dealer in these last days. Lorain, Ohio, a former Navy captain, wants to bring the shipbuilding industry and 3,000 jobs back to Lorain by building dry docks for Navy submarines on the Black River. There's a photograph of an American shipbuilding yards in Lorain, Ohio, in 1948. So, Ed, I come to you first because this suggests that Lorain and the Great Lakes have always been part of building ships, and then we had the 20th century. What is the background of Lorain for the U.S. Navy and for ships in general? Good evening to you, Ed.
Good evening, John. The the Lorain American Shipbuilding Company in Lorain was founded in 1898 and operated there through 1984. During that period, it became the largest shipbuilder in the Great Lakes. It built 13 of the 1,000-foot ore carriers that are in the Great Lakes. It built many ships for the U.S. Navy during World War II, and it built Coast Guard ships that are still active in the fleet today.
So it has a storied history. And what does it look like now, Ed, if I were to visit the Lorain Yards? Can we see the scale of it once upon a time?
What was once the two dry docks at the Lorain shipyard are now converted into luxury condominiums, and what were the dry docks are now slips for the boats for the owners of those condos. It has been completely redeveloped. So we're going to have to develop a shipyard on a completely new site.
Jerry, I come to you because we have discussed over the years the needs of the U.S. Navy, which are endless. And given the adversaries are very busy right now, it's a two ocean, three ocean, four ocean. I don't know how many oceans you got, Jerry. So what would the addition of a shipbuilding yard, a revived shipbuilding yard in the Great Lakes mean for the U.S. Navy?
Well, it's a much needed requirement right now. We simply do not have enough capacity either in new ship construction or in ship repair. The fact is, this is one of the reasons I've been highlighting in my writing as well as in my book to provide and maintain a Navy, the importance of looking inward, getting away from the coasts, because there's a lot of things that drive this. One is demographics, the difficulty in finding workers, welders, pipe fitters, electricians in some of these coastal shipyards and then retaining them. And so one of the things that I've looked at is historically in times of great need, World War II, for instance, we built ships on the Ohio and Mississippi River and in the Great Lakes, as Captain Bartlett has just alluded to. And so about 9 months ago, when Captain Bartlett reached out to me and I first became aware of this, I was very excited by this idea of bringing ship repair capacity back to the Great Lakes. After all, we are now building the Navy's new frigate, the Constellation class, in Green Bay, and bringing it out through St. Lawrence Seaway. So it's clear that there's an industrial capacity there. There's some workers there. And when I first sat down with Captain Bartlett, he told me an amazing story about how far behind we were on submarine repairs. And so I became very enthusiastic for this project.
Captain Bartlett, Ed, submarines, these are gigantic human constructions. Are they welcome in the Great Lakes? Would they prosper here if you reconstruct the yards at Lorain?
I think we've got a welcome home for them here in Lorain. This project has been very well received, both in the government circles as well as in the workforce, which is feeling a sense of relief, an emotional release. They feel like they've been left behind with all the factory closings and steel mills, auto plants, shipyards. And there's a sense of hope here. There's opportunity for something in the future. This would be great.
The submarines are come in different sizes, I understand. I've learned from Jerry, so I want to check on this. There are two new classes of submarines that are proposed or under construction. I forget my details, Jerry. Would both of them be welcome here, or is this about renovation, repair on dry dock for the submarines that are already in the fleet?
This would be about repair of existing attack submarines, primarily the Virginia-class attack submarines. These ships are being built in Connecticut and Rhode Island and Virginia. They're in the fleet today. They require maintenance, and our shipyards, repair shipyards, do not have the capacity to maintain them. So we'd be maintaining existing ships.
Jerry, I come to you about this because the submarine fleet has been an inquiry for many years. It is the part of our fleet that does not have an answer from our adversaries, if I remember correctly. Is the submarine fleet now adequately serviced by the existing shipyards here and abroad?
The simple answer is no. And in fact, what I'd like to do is actually pass this question over to Captain Bartlett, because one of the things that when he first briefed me that was so compelling was the story of the USS Helena and the USS Boise. So, Ed, could you talk to us about the Helena and Boise and how this highlights this challenge with submarine repair?
Absolutely. Thank you, Jerry. When I left active duty in the Navy, I went to work at General Dynamics Shipyard, Electric Boat in Groton, Connecticut, and briefly worked as an engineer in the shipyard before going into the design group. The first ship I worked on as an engineer after I left the Navy was the construction of the USS Helena. We built that ship in 2.5 years from the keel laying until the ship was delivered. That ship recently went into a planned 6-month mini overhaul, which eventually took 5 years to complete. 5 years, more than twice the length of time it took to build it in the first place to do a mini overhaul. Meanwhile, the USS Boise, another submarine that was active, had lost its certification to go to sea. So since 2016, the Boise sat at the pier in Norfolk, unable to get underway, even for a hurricane sortie, and was unable to do anything, waiting on the Helena to complete its overhaul. The Helena finally completed its overhaul last October after more than 5 years in the shipyard, and it now is out. The Boise went in, but the Boise is a 35-year ship life. It's going to spend more than 10 years out of the active rotation because of this delay getting into the shipyard and getting its maintenance done.
Jerry,
it's not acceptable.
Jerry, there was a catastrophe recently in late 2021 of the USS Connecticut and a collision. And that submarine, badly damaged, now needs to be repaired. Does it wait in line? Are there adequate ways to answer the Connecticut, which was not just rotation, but an accident?
So Captain Bartlett has already highlighted the fact that we are backed up in our ship repair schedule for the submarines in particular. So they're already hard scheduled. And we have in the United States Navy 4 shipyards where generally we bring these submarines in to do these repairs. The Connecticut's accident, and she's a Seawolf class, so one of only 3 boats built in that class. They're very special design. They're very advanced. Getting her repaired will be a higher priority because of unique capabilities that those 3 boats have. So we already were backed up with the plans for the repairs and overhauls of the remaining Los Angeles class and the Virginia class. The Connecticut will have to go to the head of the line from everything that I've heard, and this will further disrupt our downstream repair schedule. And so trying to add additional capacity into submarine repair, as what Captain Bartlett is suggesting in Lorraine, Lordstown, is really critical for the Navy to get back up on step. Because again, submarines will be the front line of any conflict with rising great powers like Russia or China.
I'm speaking to Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy aviator retired of the Sagamore Institute, and Captain Ed Bartlett. Ed Bartlett is the CEO, founder, and president of Bartlett Maritime. We're talking about the need and the possibilities for reviving a shipyard in Ohio that helped win the Second War. But here it is another century. And the question now is politics. So when we come back, the politics of a shipyard where now there are condominiums. I'm John Bash.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/IHEART for 40% off. Terms apply.